It's Chodesh Adar base, Friday the 8th of March, Rabbi Yaakov Hamer, lessons from the...
Good morning, Chodesh everyone. It's been a while. It's been such a while that everyone's commenting on my photo outside. I don't know what you're talking about, but...
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, exactly. We know that Sefer Shmos concludes with the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, and the Shechina coming back to Klal Yisrael. And Ramban writes in his Hakdama that even though we left Mitzrayim, we were not considered to be Geulim until we returned El Milas Avoysam to El Mokaymam. And this happened with the building of the Mishkan. And as we know, it was a close call with the Egel and what happened at the time. Everything was up in the balance. It wasn't simple what was going to happen. And there was a deal to potentially destroy Klal Yisrael, switch them for Uma Cheres. Perhaps that Hashem would not be Mashre Shechina in their midst, but send the Malach instead. And the Moshe Rabbeinu was mispowel, he davened, and Hashem didn't destroy Klal Yisrael, he didn't, he wasn't machlef them, but umacheres, and he said, I'm going to remain with you. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw it was an Eis Ratzon, he was matzliach in all of these areas, and Moshe Rabbeinu began to ask for other things. And one of the questions, one of the things which Moshe Rabbeinu asked for, is he asked, I would like to understand your ways. He said, let me understand your derochim. It's interesting, Refresh points out that the ksiv is really darkecha, your way. That the word is derochecha, your ways, which we'll come back to. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Eis Ratzon. I mean, Klal Yisrael could have been destroyed, they could have been switched for a different nation, there could have been a Malach, and everything was good. Hashem was Makabal his tefillah. Let me understand your ways. And we know that he was asking Tzadik Barali, Rosh HaMatovloi, big questions he was asking. And Hashem responded and said, look, there's some things which you will not understand. Hashem responds and says, "Vayemal esuch liris es panayki leyirani ha'adam v'chay." But you know what? Vayem Hashem in yimakim itzim itzavta al hatzur v'haya ba'avur kavoyni v'samtiyecha v'nikras hatzur sachesi kapi alecha ad avri asireisi es kapi v'risi sacharai panay leyiro. Very difficult, cryptic parasha as to what exactly happened. What is this tzur? What's going on? But just to share with you one idea, again, just to take out a couple of lessons, a couple of thoughts which come out from the wake of the Egel. The Ramban says, when it says over here that there was some tzur, which some rock, which Hashem says, you'll go and you'll be in this rock and I'll pass over you and you'll see the back of me, you won't see the front of me. So the Ramban says it's referring to the tzur with which Moshe Rabbeinu brought Mayim from. And go to that sewer. And that's where you will be when I pass over you. I was thinking to explain, perhaps the idea is that the concept of an even, of stone, it's something which the Mefarshim tell us very much symbolizes din. We know that the most chamur of all the Arba Misas, Bezdin at least, according to the Chachamim, is skila. And to take an even, and to be mainless a person, that is the height of din. And we know that in many places, Mayim symbolizes chesed. And it was from the tzur that Mayim came out of it. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're trying to understand my ways. You'd like to understand Tzadik Barale, Rosh HaVatovloi. You have begun to see some of my anhagas and the extent of my rachamim, and you're asking for more and some of the difficult questions. But remember the lesson which was learnt at the tzur. That from the tzur, Mayim was brought. Chesed came out of what appears to be din. And even though there are times when things look, it's din, and it's tough, and it's rough, but even from there, chesed will come out of it. And it's a similar thing when it comes to these types of questions. I'm not necessarily understanding my ways. The Gemara says in Brachas, for Isa es Achirai, what is it referring to? Kesher Tfilin. Hashem said, you'll look at the Kesher Tfilin. Again, what does that mean? We know the Gemara says that Hashem wears Tfilin, but it says, you'll see the Kesher my Tfilin. The Mefarshim say that we know when it comes to the Ritzuas of Tfilin, the right Ritzuah has to be longer than the left one. At least they made a bar mitzvah, and often with bar mitzvah boys, so they, especially if they're not so tall, sometimes the ritzuas can almost go down to the ground. And the right one is even longer than the left one. And the right one must be longer than the left. And the child and the place can up until where in a person's body must the right one go to and the left one go to. But the reason why the right one has to go longer than the left is because the right symbolizes chesed, and the left symbolizes din. And we know that the primary trait of a Kaddish Baruch Hu is chesed, and therefore, it needs to be longer. When you're looking at the person head on, so you see the right ritzuah is longer, the left one is shorter, two different ritzuahs, but they're mischaber back in the kesher. And back in the kesher, they're one. And even though sometimes you might see chesed, and you might see din, and you might not understand, and it might appear to be random, just like the question of Tzadik Barala and Rosh HaVatovlai, we don't understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, he says, go back to that tzur. As the Rabban says, it's referring to Yenet tzur, where I took mayim from it. I took the chesed, and I gave all of Klal Yisrael mayim to drink. From rock, from stone, from evan, which is something which is very hard, and something which symbolizes din. So that's the answer to your question. And that's also Alderach, what Rav Hirsch is saying, that the question was, Hedini na es dirachecha, darkecha, drachecha, darkecha. It's really one derech. It's one derech. We don't necessarily understand it. You can't look at me head on and understand. Only afterwards, l'mafreya, will you be able to understand. And that's what Hashem was telling him in response to his question. That's one idea, one tremendous lekach, which we learnt after the Egel. There's another thought, another idea, another yisoid, which I think is very important for us to remember, to be mindful of, and that's an idea from the Piazetzna. The Piazetzna asks a question. He says, the Pasuk says like this, Vayim Yimachas, Vayim Ramesh Elam, Atem Chatasim Chatag Deilam. Vayashem Moshe El Hashem Vayemar Ana Chata Ha'am Hazeh Chata Gedola Vayasul Hem Elihei Zahav. So we know, as we mentioned, Moshe Rabbeinu had these three things on the agenda. I need to make sure the Klal Yisrael don't get destroyed. I need to make sure that Hashem doesn't swap them for Umah Cheres. I need to make sure that the Shechina remains in our midst. So Moshe Rabbeinu, being the Raya Mehemna, being the Sanigar of Klal Yisrael, the one who's always coming to our defense, he needs a very strong defense. And he opens up his opening remarks to defend his client, so to speak. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ana chata ha'am hazeh chata gedola. They did a great sin. It doesn't seem to be such a good strategy when coming to defend the Klal Yisrael. You should know they did an awesome sin, fantastic sin. They made gods of gold, Elihei Zahav. And he goes on to say, either you pardon them or else I'm out also. What is the nature of this type of strange defense? So he quotes from his father, and he says, greater is someone who is Moisa Nefesh for Klal Yisrael than someone who is Moisa Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Quite an amazing thing. The extent of the godless of someone who is a Moisa Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. And in general, the B'nai Yisoskar also says, Diber Toiv, twice in Tanakh, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisra, you should stay with us. Hashem Dibur Toiv. Hashem spoke well about Klal Yisrael in the Megillah, Dibur Toiv al-Amelach. says the B'nai Yisoskar, anyone who's medaber toiv al Yisrael is kemedaber toiv al melech malchi amlochim. Speaking well, speaking positively about Klal Yisrael is fantastic. It's like you're speaking positively and well about a Kaddish Baruch. It says the father of the Piazetzna, but not only that, if a person is Moisa Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, it's even greater than if you're Moisa Nefesh for Kaddish Baruch. How can that be? So he says, because if a person is Moisa Nefesh for Kaddish Baruch, take Lamashal. Let's say you have a king. And one of the subjects in the Malchus is willing to give of his life to save the king, willing to be Moisa Nefesh for the Melech. So that's fantastic. That shows loyalty, it shows devotion, allegiance, love, and so on. Now, would that person be willing to be Moisa Nefesh for the king's children? I don't know, not necessarily. Willing to be Moisa Nefesh for the Melech. I should take a bullet for the king's child. Madafka, I love the king. I'm loyal to the king, not necessarily to the king's children. But someone who loves the king so much, even though they perhaps don't necessarily have that same level of love, potentially, for the king's children, but the love which they have for the Melech is so strong and so compelling that anything which you love, I love. And I love you so much that anything which affects you, I'm also willing to be Moisa Nefesh, says the father of the Piazetzna. That shows an even higher, that's an even higher level. To be Moisa Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, he says it's ultimately noivea from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, and I'm showing the extent of the ahava which I have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by my willingness to be Moisa Nefesh for his children. That's an incredible dargo. So he says that the strategy of Moshe Rabbeinu was, he was saying, you know what, chata ha'am hazeh chata gedela. They did a tremendous sin. Elehizov, with all of what Chazal speak about and their mafling about the chita egel and Aluva Kalisha's in Setachas Chuposa, and all of the things about how bad it was, Mamish, by the Chuppah, we were Nizana, we took an ego, and so on. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you know what, they did a tremendous sin, it was terrible. And unless there's a Mechila for them, I'm gone also. He was shown that I'm willing to be Moshe Nefesh for your children, and not Stam for your children, not for the for Aaron, and for Kalev, and for Chur, and for the Tzadikim Shebeh, but even for the lowest, the lowest levels, the ones who, okay, the Chait began with the Erev Rav, and then there were 3,000 people also from Klal Yisrael who also got involved in the Chait. So for the lowest level and echelon of Klal Yisrael, the Chusim Shebeh, the Gruim Shebeh, I'm not going to be Moisa Nefesh for them, because I'm showing that the level and the extent of the ahava which I have for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goes so far that I'm willing to be Moisa Nefesh for your children, and not stab for the best of your children, but for the lowest of the children. And that's ultimately because I know that you have that ahava for Klal Yisrael, the love which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for every single Yid, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, is Ein L'Tar V'Ein L'Shair, and my love to you is because of that. And therefore, he was coming to say, yes, they did this terrible sin, and I'm willing to be Moisa Nefesh for them, because ultimately this is an expression of the Ava which I, and when it's Moshe Rabbeinu doing it, he's really just an embodiment of Klal Yisrael. He's really just an embodiment of what every single Yid has inside. And therefore it was an incredibly powerful strategy and defense that he was coming to show the extent of the love which we have for you, Klal Yisrael, that we are willing to be Moisa Nefesh for the Pchusim Shebehem, because ultimately you love them and we love you, and we're willing to be Moisa Nefesh. And it unleashed and it revealed a different type of Hanhagah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, will be with us no matter what. He points out, he says, it's very strange in Parshas Mishpatim, Hashem suggests to Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm going to be Shaleach HaMalach Lefanecha. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't refuse. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no way, we want you. And he says it's the same idea. It's once Moshe Rabbeinu showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu the devotion, the loyalty, the Mesiras Nefesh, the Ava which we have for you, because again, it's kind of reciprocal, it goes both ways. He felt that his position was strengthened, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be in our midst and you will bear us. Because you now have seen the extent of the love which we have for you, and you will bear our shortcomings. And we don't need to be concerned that perhaps if we trip up again, you'll say you're not interested in having us. The relationship has been solidified and strengthened and been taken to a different level, a different height, that even if we have shortcomings and we trip up again, you'll be with us, you'll bear us. That was not yet Nizgala in the Shvatim. Incredible things which came out at this stage. So one other idea which I think is also very important to mention, which comes out. We're in this tkufa of the Arba Parshis. We began last week with Shkolim, this week with Zohar, and so on. And there's a big deal in the Mefarshim as to what exactly is the Seder HaDvarim. Many different explanations. What's Shkolim, and then Zohar, Para, Chodesh, and so on. One of the ideas the Mefarshim say is that, and this is tied into the Purim story also, we know that the Gemara says that Les Man the Yada Lishna Bisho, Yosem Yehaman, he was an expert in saying the worst possible things about Klal Yisrael. And he said, Yeshne Am Echad Mefuzer Mufeirat Bein Ha'amim. And Chazal Darshan, Yeshenim in Amitzus. They're asleep, and therefore it's going to be easy to topple them. And when the poor fell in the month of Adar, it's the end of the year. The year begins with Nisan. The end of the year is the end of the day. People are sleepy, they're tired, they put their head down, they're off guard. They're Yishenim in HaMitzvahs. And we know that Lashon Hara is something which is true, as opposed to Meitzi Shemra. And they were, to a certain extent, Yishenim. And they were, to a certain extent, they lost a little bit of their Cheshik. And they were in Nene, Miyosa, Su'uda, and so on. And he was able to focus on a true aspect, a true point, a chulsha, an area which Klal Yisrael falls short, and mention it and bring it to light. Yishenim in HaMitzvahs. The Mefarshim say that one of the first things a person needs to do, or perhaps the first thing a person needs to do is, what is chashav to you? Where is your passion? Where is your excitement? What are you machshav? Before a person embarks on any type of spiritual journey, am I bechlal interested in this? Is this a davar sheyesh be mamashis? Is this something which gets me excited? Is this something which means a lot to me? Or not necessarily? We know, just parenthetically, Chazal say, Adam is nikar b'koisei b'kisei b'kasei. Poshup shat, koisei, when a person drinks, you see what they're like. Kisei, when it comes to financial disputes, you see what they're like. Kasei, you see what a person's like when it comes to temper. But others say that the pshat, right, from my Rebbe, Tzvi Cheshen, b'koisei is when you drink. What things do you like? What do you appreciate? What gives you a geshmak? What gives you a time? What is your koisei? What's something which by you, this is chashev by me. B'kisei, what do you spend your money on? What are you willing to spend your money on? B'kasei, what are the types of things which make you angry? What are the types of things which cause you frustration? So, b'koisei, what is my passion? What is my excitement? What does it for me? The first thing a person needs to do is to be ma'orer, hopefully to be ma'orer, a passion, an excitement. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't quite understand how we can bring about a tikkun for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was said with a machzis ha-shekel, a shekel of kesef. Moshe Rabbeinu was niskasha, didn't quite understand how that's going to work. Hashem was mar eloi matbeish or eish. So Hashem was showing him that through this matbeil, kesef, of eish, the Mefarshim say that the idea, we know that the word kesef and zahav means zehav, give this to me. Kesev is Lashon Kisufim, to desire something. Zahav is the most desirable commodity. It's this which I want. And the Kesev is kind of the Zahav. A person has Kisufim, a person has desire. So it's a Matbeh Shel Eish, meaning that you know how we're going to count Klal Yisrael? We're not going to do a head count, because a head count is totally irrelevant in Klal Yisrael. You know how we will see, and how we will know, and how we will determine if Klal Yisrael are strong by the extent of their kisufim. Let's see what type of kisufim Klal Yisrael have. Where are they holding? And through the day of Eish, with all of the symbolism of passion, Cheshek, desire, it's through that. So the beginning of the Tahalich of Tahara is with Shkolim. What's Choshek by us? To have a passion, to have an excitement. Now, with that said, there is a tremendous danger, or a tremendous potential danger, when it comes to passion. When it comes to passion, okay, you're telling me that's the first thing and that's the most basic. And if you don't have that, nothing can begin. But passion can also get us into trouble. Many of the Mefarshim say that if we have to ask ourselves, what was the Shirish of the Chet HaEgel? You know, the Gemara says that the whole thing, Klal Yisrael were not roi for Yisrael Maisa, David wasn't roi for Yisrael Maisa. Klal Yisrael was after Matan Torah. They'd been through the Tzrayim, they'd been through the Yamsuf, they stood in Har Sinai. Hayitachin, how's it Shaykh? And then Mefarshim say that Klal Yisrael wanted Dveikus, and they wanted Elikus, and they wanted Kesher, they wanted Ruchnius. They had Islavus for Ruchnius and for Kedusha. Well, that sounds good. So where's the chait? So the Mefarshim say it's very nuanced and subtle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'asu li mikdash v'shechanti v'seichal. Make for me a mikdash. And as Rashi says, b'shem Chazal, it's li, it's for me, l'shmi. And Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'ave to have a dira b'tachtonim. Hashem said, I would like a place, I would like to reside over here. I would like a place down below. So what should have happened is that Klal Yisrael should have tried to facilitate and enable Hashem's desire. Hashem wants to be down here. Hashem wants to be down below. So let's do whatever we can to facilitate and enable that. But what they did instead was they said, you know what? We want the Shekhinah in our midst. Because having the Shekhinah in our midst is going to be good for us. Because if we have Shekhinah, we've got Shefa, and we've got Bracha, and we've got Haganah, and we've got incredible things. And we'll have that spiritual experience, and we'll have all these things. Again, they wanted it. They wanted the Kedusha, the Tahara, the Dveikus, all of those wonderful things. But they wanted it because they wanted it, because it was good for them. You might ask a question, and I don't have a good yisha for this as of yet. Chazal do say, La'olam yasek adam b'terah b'mitzah safilu shalei lishma, shemitech shalei lishma ba'al lishma. So is there anything wrong with that? I mean, surely that's the way that a person is supposed to begin. But it could be that even if you're right, that's the way that you should start. But at the end of the day, there is a potential, there is a chance that if that's the way that you are nigash lechatchila, maybe something might happen, because ultimately that is not what you are supposed to do. I mean, we are supposed to do that, and we're supposed to do that la'olam, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner's medayik, la'olam yasik. But there is a potential of kishalon. But al kopanim, that was the nakuda over here. And because they went with their passion, and with their thoughts, and with their agenda, and with their desire, so that is what enabled the Egel to begin, and the Egel to take place. You know, when things weren't necessarily going the way that they anticipated, so then there were problems. And the Mefarshim say that in Parshas Shemini, we know there have been 7 days of Miluyim. They're trying to bring the Shekhinah down. It's not coming. Finally, Vayibayim HaShemini, Kara Moshe, La'aron, Levanov. And then Aaron's going to bring it. you're going to be the one who's going to bring the Shekhinah down. And again, there is all of this discussion. Aaron was involved in the Egel. He didn't want to be. He was embarrassed. Krav lekach nitzarto. V'yema meisha zeh adova sheitziv Hashem ta'asu. This is what you should do. V'yera aleichem kved Hashem. Now, there's a certain ambiguity in the parish and the pasuk as to what exactly are we referring to. V'yema meisha zeh adova. This is the thing about which Hashem is mitzaveh. And v'yera aleichem kved Hashem. Chazal in the Teres Kainim over here say, what does it mean, zeh adova sheitziv Hashem ta'asu? That yetzer hara you should remove from your heart. And so on. So the Mefarshim ask, what exactly is that yetzer hara that you're referring to? Which specific aspect and element of the yetzer hara are you referring to? They say in the name of the Brisker Rav that it's referring to this point. It's this nekuda. Says the Brisker Rav, it's the sherish of what brought about the Chet HaEgel. That Yetzer Hara, now is the time that you need to remove it from your midst. Now we're at the point where we want the Shekhinah to come down on a permanent basis, to reside. Aaron's going to come. Remember what happened initially. Remember the problems that we got into with the Egel, and how, as we mentioned, three things were hanging in the balance. And as we mentioned, incredible things were revealed. So now we want the Shekhinah to come down and reside amongst us. So zeh hadavar, asher tzim Hashem tasu, do this. What are you doing? That yitzhar hara, remove it from your midst. The sherish of the Chet HaEgel, meaning to say, the gisha towards that I'm doing it because it's good for me, because I want it, and I would like to be the beneficiary of the Shekhinah and the protection and the shef and the brach and the parnas and so on. Get rid of that. And if you get rid of that, then the Shekhinah will come down as it concludes over here. See some Cain, you did that. If you do that, then the Shekhinah will come down. Parshas Pekudei, as we know, I think it's 18 times, Kashet Siv Hashem Es Moshe, Kashet Siv Hashem Es Moshe. The Farshim say this is the idea that in the post-Egel period, and as we mentioned, the reason how they were Nichshal originally is because, albeit they had a desire for Kedusha, for Tahara, for Dveikus, but they went in looking at what's in it for me, so to speak. So now when they're building the Mishkan, and now they want Hashem to reside, Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe, you've got to do it for the right reasons, the way Hashem was Metzava Moshe. And I guess the lesson for us, you know, we all have, each and every one of us, there were 600,000 Kabbalah Satiris, the Mefarshim say. Everyone was Mekabal Torah differently. Everyone in this room has a different relationship and a different kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we have, so to speak, what Torah means for us and our Yiddishkeit and so on. Whatever it is, and different people stress different things. But the one thing which is so important, so essential, one of the important lessons which comes out in the wake of the Egel, is this idea that first and foremost we always need to be asking ourselves, is this what Hashem wants from me? Or is this something which I feel that this is potentially good, and I feel that in my Yiddishkeit this is something which talks to me, and I kind of like that anyway, and I am somewhat predisposed to liking this about Yiddishkeit, and therefore I'm doing that, and I'm perhaps putting a stronger emphasis and importance on it because it's something which talks to me? Or is everything starting with the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it? That is the challenge. And just to conclude, a formidable challenge it is. In the Haftarah, last week's Sedra, I mentioned something which we find throughout Tanakh, several places, speaks about various malachim who were good kings, and kings who were good kings for 40 years, and they did Hayash v'Eini Hashem. Rakis Abovais Le'isiru. Imagine, if you will, you would say, person's an Erlich Yid, he eats Chazatreif, he eats in Yom Kippur. I mean, this is Shchut Yechutz. In Rakis Abovais Le'isiru. It's a sort of safer. Nachlal Yo, he says, like, why are we just saying Rakis Abovais? He says, the Teretz says, this point is so difficult. Meaning people are doing things, and they're doing Hayash, Beni Hashem. But when it comes to Avodas Hashem, everyone approaches Avodas Hashem with their type of Yiddishkeit, and their desire to connect in their way, and what's meaningful for them. And sometimes it's a Bechin of Shchut Echutz. And therefore, it comes as no surprise that Torah on the one hand is saying that the person's a good person. They're Yosha, they're Erlich, and so on. But Rakis Abomais, because when it comes to this particular point of your Gisha towards Yiddishkeit and doing things because Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe, not because this is what I want to do and this is the way that I would like to be Niskarev and this is my type of Shechit and this is my type of Hakrava, that is a very difficult, it's a formidable challenge.
Right.